Well, who better to join us on the air after a big Carolina and Duke win than the man who wrote books on the Carolina and Duke rivalry? Joining the studio now by 97.9 The Hill's own Art Chansky. Art, how's it going? And as we get into preparation for tonight, I feel like it's important to talk about just what a massive moment this is for Carolina, having beaten Duke on Saturday.
Yeah, it is, Brighton, and I feel completely different today than I did on Saturday, and I'm sure millions of Carolina fans feel the same way. That was just an epic game. It was not only the greatest Duke-Carolina game with everything at stake, but it was also the most watched college basketball game of all time, and it was the one that sort of signaled the change of guard in the ACC and at Duke-Carolina with Mike going out and Hubert in. But yeah, it was interesting to me that Duke didn't go to their best player more in that game. Bancaro didn't score in the last 7 minutes. I mean, we did a good job trying to keep the ball away from him, and then when he got it, crowding him so he would get rid of it. And I think he's the personification of why the one-and-done rule hasn't worked for Mike in terms of national championships. When you have an all-freshman team, your guys aren't mature enough. They're not strong enough. They're not experienced enough. And Bancaro definitely has the ability to take over a game by himself. But, you know, once he gave up the ball with the shot clock running down and didn't go get it back or didn't try and make a move with it, I thought that was to Carolina's advantage.
Yeah, it is an interesting through line how when Carolina has found success against the more talented teams that Duke has on paper with NBA lottery picks in there, it usually comes down to Duke just moving away from what is working or moving away from using their best player. And there's no doubt that any one of their players could have a great night and absolutely kill their opponents. But this was another example of where the best player on the court, by far, Paolo Bancaro, ended up not scoring for large stretches of the second half after finding success in the first. And that seems to be a through line of really Duke's most recent years. Zion Williamson, Jason Tatum, all of these guys who are great talents, great in the NBA, were great in the rest of the college basketball season. But when it came to NCAA tournament time, it just kind of fell apart.
Well, you know, because that's because they're freshmen. Physically, they're not as strong as they'd be the next year. They're not experienced. And even though the one-and-dones get you in the rankings, they get you in the polls, they keep you the darling of ESPN all season, all that kind of stuff, and I think they think that helps them in recruiting moving forward. When they get to the tournament and they're meeting teams that are not maybe as talented, but they're more experienced, they're stronger and tougher. And when they see Duke coming, when you're a competitive athlete, and Duke, you know, Duke is America's team, you love them or you hate them, and that really fires up the competitive edge for any athlete. So it's not surprising to me that they've lost games right at the end of their out game in the tournament, and this is the first time they've been back to the Final Four since 2015. So that's 7 years. Carolina's been now to three Final Fours and three championship games in that time. So their PR is immense, and the whole thing about Coach K and what happened this year, you can argue about that, but there's no question the image of Duke is so omnipotent, but when you look at the facts, they really haven't produced. I don't know, but I would guess that there are some people at Duke that's saying it's time for Mike to retire.
Yeah, maybe so. Well, once again, we're speaking with 97.9 The Hill's own Art Chansky. Of course, the cloud of Krzyzewski's retirement hanging over that game led to tons of viewership, lots of hype machine leading up to Saturday. How special was it, Art, to actually be able to watch this Carolina and Duke game with the biggest stage, perhaps, of any Carolina Duke game that has happened, at least in the past couple decades? And it actually lived up to it. An incredibly close game throughout. And it was one that wasn't decided until really the closing seconds.
Yeah, you know, a lot of Duke Carolina games over the years have been exciting, and as Jay Billis says, it always delivers. I'm not sure it always delivers, but this one, because of the setting and because of the stakes and because so many more people were watching it, and as Tracy Himmel from our sales staff just told me, said, you know, they're just kids, the 19, 20-year-old kids. They're playing in front of 70,000 in the Superdome, in front of millions and millions on TV. And they still came through with a great game. Now, there were mistakes. We threw the ball away, unforced errors a couple times, missed some free throws. You know, Coach K was mad at Mark Williams because he missed those two free throws at the end. But Brady missed two and Caleb missed one. I mean, it's things that are going to happen. But there were way many more good plays than bad plays in that game and came right down to the wire. And I think Duke thought they were going to win. But Caleb made the shot, which you say could be the one of the great shots in the history of Carolina basketball.
It's pretty spectacular. There's no doubt that this game is going to be talked about for ages and ages. But there's still another game to play later on tonight. That's what we're leading up to. And you were talking about the setting, of course, between this most recent Duke and Carolina game. This is a pretty special setting for Carolina in the championship game, too, coming up against Kansas, a program that has had its number at times, and of course is the other program of Roy Williams, but also the setting being New Orleans and it being the 40th anniversary of the 1982 title in New Orleans.
Absolutely, and I was there 40 years ago, and you talk about pressure. The pressure in that game was for Dean Smith to finally win a national championship after being to six Final Fours, having been there to the championship game the year before against Indiana and losing in Philadelphia the day Ronald Reagan got shot. And they're playing Georgetown, which is a great team with Patrick Ewing and Sleepy Floyd and John Thompson, who is Dean Smith's really good friend, who was Dean tabbed him as an assistant for the 1976 Olympic team. So there was every aspect of that. And James Worthy and Sam Perkins were really the stars of those teams. But at the end of the game, when Carolina called a timeout with about 30 seconds to play, Dean Smith told the team, he said, now they're going to surround James and Sam so they can't get the ball. So you try and get it to them. But if they can't, you just keep swinging it, you know. And he tapped Michael on the knee before they left the huddle. He said, if you get it, knock it in. And Michael had the, you know, he had the kind of the blessing of his coach. And he had it, and that shot launched Michael Jordan's career, but it really launched Dean Smith dynasty to the next level. He finally won one, and you know they didn't get back after that until 91. But because of that, and because of the two Final Fours in a row and the stars that he had on his team, they were the team that was talked about through most of the 80s until this young guy from Durham started building his program a little bit. So there was enormous pressure. I don't think there'll be that amount of pressure tonight, but we'll have to see what it feels like before the game.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on Hubert Davis saying in these media days leading up to the national title game that he's rewatched the 1991 Final Four game that, of course, he was with Dean Smith in the program, but they ultimately fell short of a title? What do you think of him saying that he usually rewatches that game once a year?
Well, that's what he does. That's what he does. But, you know, Hubert was young. He was only a sophomore at Carolina. No, he was a junior at Carolina, and so he was 20 years old. And that was a very disappointing game. I remember that they didn't play very well. We got domed in that game. Rick Fox was our best three-point shooter, and I think he went 1-for-7 or 1-for-8. And it's one of those games where Roy Williams knew everything that Carolina was going to do because he had been the assistant for so long. So they were well-prepared, and I think we were well-prepared for them. And they just beat us. And at the end of the game, the outcome of the game was decided, but Pete Pavia, the ref, threw Dean out with a technical foul for being out of the coach's box while play had been stopped, which, I mean, there was almost a brawl after that game, people trying to get at the official. But so, I mean, I'm sure it was very disappointing for Hubert. But since then, he's played a lot of basketball. He's been in NBA playoffs, and he's been with Roy when they went to two Final Fours, the disappointment in 16 in Houston, and then the championship. So, you know, I think that Hubert has done an amazing job in terms of the transition of the team without people really understanding and knowing, myself included, what his methods were, what he was doing. And he's just been so, you know, he quotes Bible passages to get them to have tunnel vision. And he also is tough. He's tough. And you can see the toughness has come out. Carolina takes pride in his defense now, and they take pride in being a team in terms of getting the ball to the right people. So he's done a fabulous job, and it would be just a storybook of all time if they won tonight.
Once again, we're speaking with 97.9 The Hill's own Art Jansky. You mentioned Roy Williams. Of course, we know Roy Williams is going to be in the stands for this one, too, between the Tar Heels and the Kansas Jayhawks. he's got to be the real winner of tonight, right? I mean, either way, it's a good result for him. And you actually had the chance to just catch up with Roy about how he's doing 1 year into retirement and stepping a little bit more away from the game. Of course, he's been able to go to a ton of Carolina and Kansas basketball games this year, too. But what were some of the takeaways from your conversation with Roy? And now that we know that his two teams are the ones playing for a title tonight.
Yeah, it was great. And we talked a long time, and I put in the story what I thought was pertinent, and mainly that he wanted Hubert to be the coach, and he had to push a little bit with the athletic and the university administration to make sure that they understood that Hubert Davis was the best guy for the job. Because a lot of times when administrators and athletic directors who haven't been in the arena, as Mike Krzyzewski would say, they're not, you know, they don't know as much about coaching as coaches do. And so he wanted them to know that Hubert was the guy for the job in terms of his passion for the university, his experience with basketball through the years, and his relationship with people. And you can see that that sort of matured throughout the season. And he was very, he really misses coaching. He said he misses it. He goes to sleep every night thinking about this program, wakes up every morning thinking about it. He does less of that now that Hubert has got it rolling, and it's clearly in better hands. But I also think that he made the decision at the right time. He knows that. He's happy with the decision, and he is seeing a lot of basketball, watches practice, not every day, but, you know, when he's in town, gets to travel, plays a lot of golf, spends time with his kids, told a funny story about how Wanda planned a trip for Washington for the family to go up to Washington, D.C. And without knowing it, it was really in the middle of the tournament. And then all of a sudden, the pairings came out, and oh, my goodness. But what if we win the first two? We get to Philadelphia. It's not far from Washington. So Roy left. He got on the train. First train ride he ever made. He got on the train from Washington to Philadelphia. The cabbie picked him up, recognized who he was, took him right to the door of the Wells Fargo Center, and boom, he was right in the seat. So the idea that he's getting to do a little bit of everything that he loves, and he looks great. I mean, he really does, and I think it was the right decision, and he really pushed for the right guy.
Well, there's no doubt that he will be a presence tonight in the Superdome, along with 70,000 other people. But let's turn now to the on-court stuff. How, in your mind, will the Tar Heels match up with Kansas, and what do you think they need to do well to have a shot to win this last game of the college basketball season?
Well, one of the variables is how Baycott AB's ankle is, and I'm sure that the treatment he's gotten and the wrapping that he'll get and whatever else they have to do to him, he'll be ready to play. Over the course of the game, it might hinder him, but I think the great matchup is Leakey and how do you pronounce
Ochai
it?
Ochai Agbaji.
Agbaji, okay. So I think that's a great matchup because they're about Leakey, he's 6'5", Leakey's 6'8", but he's an All-American heading for the NBA, and I think the key will be not to let him get off to the hot start he did against Villanova the other day. And then, of course, you've got Caleb's going to be guarding Chris Brown, who's a really good shooter, 39% from outside. And then when Remy Martin comes in the game, it'll be an RJ, him, and two of the quickest guys on the court. So I think it's a really good matchup. I think Kansas is great. They transition game is terrific. Their defense is terrific. And Carolina has to play well. There's no question about it. But I'll tell you this. I think it goes one way or the other. I think it is one where they've left it on the court so much in the Duke game, whether they have enough in the tank for Kansas. That's one concern that I have. But I think Hubert will, over the last two days, get him ready to play. The other thing that could be is I asked you before we went on the air, how do you feel today compared to Saturday? You know, and you said, great. And I was really nervous before Saturday, and I feel great today. And if the team feels that way, if they play hard and they feel like they're playing with house money, right, and they go out there and they have fun, no, they might shoot the lights out at Superdome, and Carolina could win.
All is still in front of us for this national title game tonight. We've got a lot more coverage on the way, and you'll be able to find his work on Chapelboro and hear it right on the air tomorrow morning afterward. Art Chansky, as always, thanks so much for taking the time, and we'll be talking with you again soon.
Thank you, Brighton. Go Heels.